We take our Bibles at this time and turn to the book of Genesis, the very first chapter. The book of Genesis, the Word of God of the beginnings of all things. I'm going to read this chapter. My intention is to bring to you the whole counsel of God in the light of Genesis and the first chapters. And I would pray that you would pray for me and for the worship of God as we center and gather around these chapters and see what light God would shine upon our souls and upon our pathway as we hear the Word and worship and be glad together in the gospel that is certainly here. I'm going to read the first chapter, the whole chapter of Genesis, to set the setting here and have some general statements to make in a sermon here, an introductory sermon, so that the setting can be known by us and we can be excited about this wonderful message that God has for us in Genesis. Hear the word of the Lord, Genesis 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day. And the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, "Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." And God made the firmament, and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. And the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth." And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and for years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth." And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. And God said, "Let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven." And God created great quails, and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth." And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth a living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth after his kind." And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to every thing that creepeth upon the earth wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. And I'll read the first three verses of chapter 2. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God ended his work, which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. Thus far we read the very beginning of the Word of God, which is all about the beginnings of things. We continue, people of God, in our exposition of the Word of God in light of and for the unfolding of the whole counsel of God. This was the Apostle's asseveration, his great declaration to the Ephesian elders when he was departing from them. He reminded them that he had preached to them the whole counsel of God, all that God would reveal of himself to us preachers and sinners, and that revelation, that counsel centered in Jesus Christ. That's what, therefore, we do as Church of Jesus Christ. We would preach the whole counsel of God. And now we would expound in a series of sermons the very first chapters of Genesis in order that from the perspective of Genesis we may have before us the whole counsel of God, and that things old and new of the very gospel of our salvation that is revealed here may be brought to our consciousness and may move us to live in praise to God for this wonderful truth of the beginnings of all things and the unfolding of his redemptive purposes in Christ Jesus the Lord. The Bible in Genesis is this wonderful, blessed book of beginnings. Not just the beginnings of history and the setting in motion of all things, which it indeed is. This is real history, as we shall see. But beginnings which are of a principal sort. The beginning, for example, of marriage that's set forth here in the Word of God. A beginning set forth to be a pattern of all things. The beginning of sin, the beginning of grace, the beginning of all these things we hear in the first chapters of Genesis. Something for the church to reflect upon, because those beginnings have bearing, being the Word of God, on all of our life today. And even in these latter days, when we are toward the end of all things, the beginnings are having their way. They are being brought to bear by God in a mighty way, so that the church that would go forward in the end of time would remember her beginnings, the beginnings of the good God of creation, and the beginnings so that we might never be moved from the rock of the Word of Jesus Christ. The New Testament itself, very, very concerned that the church of the new dispensation, the new age, would know the beginnings. And so there's dozens of references in the New Testament to the very first chapters of Genesis. Jesus himself reminds the people of what marriage was in the beginning and of what folly they had made in thinking that they could divorce and then remarry at the drop of a hat or at the burning of a piece of toast. Very, very practical is the message of the beginnings with regard to that and all things. The Church of Jesus Christ has recognized the significance of the beginnings. For example, the significance of the creation of the whole worlds by God himself. The first article of our faith, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. There's a foundational truth taught in the very first chapters of Genesis that is vital for our faith. The Heidelberg Catechism echoes the acknowledgement of the Church of all ages of the important foundational truths of creation. When it says in Lord's Day 9, for example, we believe that God is the Father, the Almighty Maker of heaven and earth, that this means that He's the eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who of nothing made heaven and earth, of nothing made heaven and earth, with all that is in them, who likewise upholds and governs the same by His eternal counsel and providence. And so the New Testament itself shows us that these beginnings are for our edification, our vital life today as a people of God. The church has always recognized this. Sadly, so has the devil. And the devil is with might and main, in fact, as we speak, and in every corner, especially of the intellectual world, seeking to undermine the church's faith in God, the Father, and our creation, and in the very book and books of Genesis. And so we need to stand on the Word of God, not simply to be controversial, that's not the aim of these series here, but it is to be reminded of the great and awesome truth of the foundation of our faith, God, our Creator, the Creator of all things, and also our God and Father for Jesus' sake. So let's consider, and only briefly and generally in this first sermon, in the beginning, God. Again, to be taught the whole counsel of God, and then God's people, so to live. So, in the beginning, God. We'll talk first of all about God alone in the beginning. And then, in the beginning, God creating. And then God creating by His Word. And then God revealing this to His people. Because this book was written, first of all, to Israel, and now it is to the Church of Christ. How are we going to react to this truth that we hear right now? Let's see. First of all, and again, I'm emphasizing the first verses of Genesis 1. We have the outstanding phrase, in the beginning, God. Bereshith ha-Elohim. I say that not to show that I know a little bit of Hebrew, but these are the words that are often repeated in the literature, and if you read these things, there's a bereshith here, in beginning, and the word for God, Elohim. You may have heard that. God, the word that is used often to describe Him as the Creator. Several things about here, God, that we would know and need to know if we would be grounded in the high theology of God as the Creator. First of all, note here, He's God in the beginning, and it does not say, does this text here, that God Himself had a beginning. In fact, the text gives us to understand emphatically that in the beginning, the God who was creating was making other things outside of Himself, and that's indeed the case. In fact, what's taught here is the eternity of God, and God alone. In Genesis 1, we have an absolute beginning that's set forth for us. Not a beginning maybe later on, but an absolute beginning of everything outside of God. God Himself, however, is distinguished as the Creator of all of these things. We read, for example, in Psalm 90, this truth of the eternity of God. O Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations, before the mountains were brought forth, creation, or ever Thou hadst formed the earth and the world, Genesis 1, even from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. Awesome statement here of the identity of our God, the God of the whole Bible, as the God alone who has no beginning and no ending. From everlasting to everlasting, He's God. Now just think about that. This is the word here, the doctrine of God here, in the very first word or two, in the beginning, God created all things. And says that He's eternal and we're not. Says also here that God simply is. He doesn't become something. Light becomes, darkness becomes, man becomes, and plants and all of these things. Not God. God is, in the beginning, is God. Was God, is God. Very, very important statement. Because later on, the Hebrews themselves would learn the name of God in a special way as His covenant, their covenant people, and He their covenant God. When He would say, Moses, tell the Jews my name. It's I am. I am that I am. There's no I will be something better. I simply am. And the writer to the Hebrews in chapter 11 tells us that he who comes to God must believe that He is. That He is. Simply that He is God and a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. But first of all, that He is. This is the first principle of divinity, and that is of the study of God not only, but of true piety and reverence. We talked last week in the Grace Life conversation about the fear of God. Fun and the fear of God was the title of that lively discussion. A wonderful time, by the way, in which the young people in the college were really challenged, and we all were led into the truth of the fear of God. But here it is. God is, in the beginning, was God. And of course, when it speaks of Him creating all things in this wonderful way and not needing, a CEO or the head of a construction company to help Him out, He did it all alone. The Bible is speaking of, in the beginning, God creating as simply almighty and not needing of anything that He creates, not even to create them or provide for them, but certainly not for anything else as well. He's God. He's changeless. He is eternal. All of these attributes are brought out of God. God, who is only God here. And besides that, there is also this revelation of God. And I won't exhaust the text here, certainly. But as a God who is a plurality, if I could say that. First of all, we say He's one. But He is also, in a way, more than one. For look, the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And then later on in verse 26, God speaks to Himself when He says, let us make man in our image. What is the allusion here? It's to the Trinity. I'm not going to debate this at all. I'm going to preach this. This is the triune God who is declared here. One in being, I am. And three, in a different way, I am one God in three persons. The Spirit of God moving upon the face of the waters. Later on, we'll talk about the Word of God by whom God created everything. But God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit involved one God, one singular God, the God of all things and of Israel, who is creating these worlds that we see in Genesis 1. But then, just to point out this, and then I'm going to move on into the world that God made and why He made it and so on. But there is something here that the Hebrews were being taught through Moses, who wrote most of these books anyway. And that is that there is this God who alone is God. And this is what we must be taught at all times. There's this God who alone is God. You read here in the beginning of one God, who alone is making all things, who alone is making all things to be under His dominion. He's the King. There's not many gods. And again, Israel may have been needing to hear this as she was about to enter the land of Canaan. Again, this is written by Moses, hundreds of years after the creation itself, but given miraculously to him for the most part. And so you can't, Israel was being told something here. And that is, as it entered Canaan, there's many other gods who claim to be God, but The Bible says, and God says, there's only one God. Not the sun, the moon, and the stars of the Canaanites or the Babylonians, but just the one God made even all of these things. So, more on that presently, but just one God. Now, this God made everything. Look at that, children. In the beginning it says God created the heaven and the earth. Now, what do you think God made the heaven and the earth out of? What do you think He made it out of? The Bible teaches here that in the beginning there was only God, and there was not anything with Him, and therefore that God made everything out of nothing. Isn't that amazing? God the Creator is set forth here as this God who made the heavens and the earth. That's everything, not just our little earth and our little heavens, but the whole universe and all the galaxies and solar systems and so on. He made them out of nothing. Nothing was before. There was no raw material. There wasn't a hammer. There weren't nails. There wasn't a saw. There weren't other things that could have been the resources from which God would pull so that He might make these things. Just God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, making all things out of nothing. That's what the creed says that we read, and the other reformational creeds as well. We believe, when we say we believe in God the Father, that He's the eternal Father who of nothing made heaven and earth. And this is echoing the truth of the Bible. It says that God made all things that do appear, not of things which also appear, but out of nothing. So you have the doctrine here is called creatio ex nihilo, creation out of nothing. Very important, because some teach that matter is eternal. Others teach that matter doesn't matter, but the Bible is balanced here. Matter matters. God created it. Even the darkness, by the way, and the light. It's all good, he says presently. So we have to figure with all of this. But first of all, that God created everything out of nothing. Out of nothing. But now, that's the first work of God of creation. There are other works on these 6 days. There was something then. There was an unformed mass. And God used that unformed mass and then the raw material to shape things that He originally had formed out of nothing. So there's two acts of creation. First of all, out of nothing. But then everything else out of the things that He had created that were yet unformed. But it's all miraculous. It's all to show that God is God. And God is wise. And God is wonderful. And God said about all these things, it's good. It's good. It's good. Now that is a very comforting thing. The Bible even reminds us that of a practical nature in 1 Timothy 4, verse 4. Receive the creatures of God because they're good. They're not bad. Marriage isn't bad. Marriage isn't less. To be more holy, you don't have to be a monk or a priest and go celibate. No, marriage is good. And all these good creatures God said are good. And that's something that redounds in this first chapter here. What God made, and again we'll speak of some of the details of this in future sermons, but what God made was good. God said this and that and the other thing. What God said and made was good. Over and over He says that. Now what does that mean? It's good in itself. Matter is good. Vegetables are good. Plants are good. Animals are good. The darkness somehow is good. The light is good. Somehow the chaos and the things that will be made out of it are good in a certain sense of the word. But especially good in that they serve the purposes of God. That's the idea of Genesis 2 and so on, when God rested from all of His made, and he was happy in that work because it was good to fulfill His purposes. See, that's the point of Genesis 1. God is speaking here of beginnings which are not just beginnings that will be stopped, not just purposeless beginnings, but beginnings that will be for an end. In fact, they're beginnings for the goal that God has had forever. You see, this is God revealed here too. God having a plan and in the beginning to execute His plan. That's the idea. And that's the idea, too, of the heavens and the earth being formed by the Word of God. So this world is formed by the Word of God. That's Psalm 33 in verse 6. We read there that by the Word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth. And then verse 9, He spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. There's the creative word here. Let there be a divine fiat, a speech of God, a communication into the nothingness. Let there be. And then into that unformed stuff, let there be a giraffe, and let there be rocks, and let there be dry land, and let there be lights in the heavens, and so on. It's a word that's God speaking, and a creative word. But ultimately, and even principally, we need to know as a church of Jesus Christ that the word by which God was making all things was the Son, who is destined to be the redemptive word of all things. Hear that. The word of God in Genesis, the Bereshit HaElohim, the Bereshit, the beginning of God, the eternal God, is all about this God beginning now to reveal Himself in the person of His Son. First of all, in creation, by the Word of God were the heavens made, and then ultimately in the glorification of God's grace in the incarnate Word. I speak in the light of the Word when I speak of these things. John 1 reads like Genesis. Children, to understand Genesis 1, go to John 1, will you? In the beginning, Bereshit, in the beginning, was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Speaking of Jesus here. In the fullness of time, but way back in Genesis, in the beginning of time, there was this Word and this plan of God to be executed so that the world, oh yes, the world would be this stage, this setting, even for a fall, that there might be the Son to pick men up, that there might be these things that are good, really good, so that we see the goodness of grace and the goodness of God approaching a fallen Adam and a fallen Eve, to remind them of the better Son that He had in store for His own. Colossians 1 as well reflects upon Genesis 1 and the heart of it and the gospel of it when it says that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. Colossians 1:15, the firstborn of every creature, not meaning that He was created, but the most important one, as firstborns always are, of all of the created things. He's an uncreated firstborn. He is that. For by Him were all things created. That's before there's a fall, isn't it? There's no fall yet in Genesis 1. By the Word, the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature, by Jesus, all things were created that are in earth, and that are in heaven, and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist, and He's the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning. He's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things, God made all things, in all things, He might have the preeminence. That's something. And then Colossians goes on to speak of the purpose of God by Him to reconcile all things, not just people, but the whole world that God has made, the new heavens and new earth, to Himself. And there you have God in the beginning, unique. You have this world that was good, and especially because it's made by the Word of God for fulfilling the purposes of God. And finally, beloved, and then I move on to this practical point. It's all about the glory of God. How many miss this? Heaven knows, and the heavenly beings in perfection, they know. They have it right. Hopefully we can begin to get it right here as we hear these words. But look at what heaven thinks the purpose of all things was for. The 24 elders, they fall down. They sit before Him who sits on the throne. They worship Him and they say, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are, and they were created. Look, Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. How does that take away all of the garbage you hear about the purposes of creation and why we're here and so on? The Bible has it right. In the beginning, God was making all things for Himself. Simply for His pleasure. Whatever happens will be the will of God being fulfilled even among devils, so that God will be God in the righteous judgment of those devils, and God will be God in the gracious salvation of sinners. That's why all things were made. That's why there's this Bereish, which is so, or Bereshith, which is so clearly to understood and understandable by those who have eyes to see and ears to hear. God would show in the beginning how great He is, how great His purposes are, and that He would be magnified. Those beings, those 24 elders before the throne in heaven, before they could say that, they had to cast their crowns down and admit they were nothing. So do we. That leads to my final point. Bereshit, in the beginning, God, is directed to a people. And I think sometimes we forget that because Israel's not here in Genesis. No one's here. There's just some miracle that of inspiration that God delivered to Moses, these words, these very words, these plain words, for His people to hear. And now it's an interesting puzzle for ministers, and it should be something we should think about. Where was Israel at this time when it was receiving these words? Was it just, when was Moses inspired to write them? Well, obviously, he would have had to have been inspired to write them before he died. And so Israel would have been given these words before they entered the promised land, wouldn't they? And God would have been speaking of His godness and of His purposes, even in Old Testament ways, of revealing that He's God to a people that was about to step into a heathen land where there was the sun and the moon and the stars were worshipped. And God was reminding them, He's God. In the beginning, and that's the way it is now, in your beginning, Israel. And it must be that you bring the truth of creation to bear upon your attitudes and your actions and your worship in the land of promise. It's My land. I made all things, and I made Canaan, and I made you. How practical for the people. And how much a comfort to them as they said no to the other gods and trusted in God. They could trust. Children, the children could trust. My God made everything. And He takes care of everything that He's made. He's going to take care of me. That's what was a great comfort. And then over and over the psalmists say to the people, our help is in the name of God who made heaven and earth. Remember that? He made heaven and earth. Israel know that. Israel know that. And now for the New Testament, it's the same thing. We live among the gods. We live among the gods. Whom shall we worship? That's what God is saying. Whether we're thinking we're about to enter the promised land and go to heaven, as we are in the kingdom of heaven, in the promised land, principally, as a church of Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God, born again by the Spirit and beginning to taste and see the things of heaven. If we think we're in captivity, if we're wandering around in our sin and so on, Bereshith Ha Elohim, in the beginning, God brings us back to God. It reminds us that we may have had false beginnings, And we may have messed things up, but in the beginning, God was God, planning everything perfectly. And now, being a Christian is reflecting upon that beginning also of grace. How perfect it is. And going back to that beginning again and again and again. See, advancing and going forward is always going back to the beginning and going forward. Going back to the beginning, to this God who is triune, who by the Word made all things, and who, at great expense, as it were, to heaven itself, emptied Himself in the person of His Son. We go back to that. Because we're going back to when the beginning was the Word. Remember grace. People of God, our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth, and who has in these latter days given us His Son and given us a new beginning. And the Spirit of God has moved upon the face not only of the waters, but in our hearts to give us life. Live in the light of the beginning, aiming toward the eternal goal, the goal of God, the goal of God to be glorified in heaven forever. Begin. Begin anew, Church of Christ. Declare that. Don't debate about that. Don't get lost in all of the debates and the challenges of worldlings about the authenticity and authority of the Word of God in Genesis 1 and how it matches up or doesn't with science. We will declare the truth here of the Word of God and of God, the God of the Word. Plainly understood. Easily received. Not because we're so smart, but by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. Do you believe? Everyone hearing now, the call is, the question is, do you believe? Amen. Heavenly Father, we pray your blessing. We stammer some words, but you declare them through us. And Lord, we pray to honor you. You are great, Lord. What a great and heavenly God and Father. By Jesus you've made the worlds. Confirm us in the truth that you are the God who has begun the great work of salvation in him. All this world, this stage, this setting, the salvation of God through your Son. May the people of God respond and be glad, the children, the young people, be a believing in the creating God people, believing in the saving God people. Thou hast said, give us ears to hear. Amen.